In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman as he shares the truth for the day.
Hello, this is Pastor John, and we are continuing in our series titled Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. Right now we're going to start step number 4. It comes from the letter L, love God and love people. And just for a review for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer is a book I recently wrote on the topic of prayer. And the word reflect is an acronym to help you in meditating on certain steps in your prayer life. R, remember the glories of God, is about thinking about the Lord, His character, His attributes, His actions, and meditating on that as you begin to pray. E, examine your motives and manner, is to make sure that as you meditate on God, you truly see yourself rightly, that you see your sin and confess it, that you see your obedience and continue in it. And so you want to examine your motives and manner so that you are truly walking humbly before the Lord. The letter F, face life with the Scriptures, is showing you how important it is that as we go through life, trials and temptations, that we are running to the Lord in prayer, but also filtering our thoughts and actions through Scriptures. We are dependent upon God's Word, how to think and how to act and how to maneuver through the challenges of life. But now we come to L, love God and love people. It is real easy in our prayer lives to be self-centered. It's easy to forget about other needs and those around us. And this step is to make sure we don't lose sight of communing with God. I mean, prayer is about growing closer to God, to loving Him more. As your relationship with God is growing, it should be deepening. But also, as it deepens for God, it should result in a deepening love for those in the church and the lost around us. Let me read the Apostle Paul from Philippians 1:3-11. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. That is an amazing prayer, saturated with great concepts about God, about the church, about Christ. And notice the affection that Paul has for God's people and for God Himself. You know, mirrors are helpful. They assist us in inspecting our outward appearance. They keep us and others safe while driving. There are even specialized mirrors to reveal blind spots around corners. Now, in the last chapter, we talked about facing life through Scriptures. We know that facing life through Scriptures does not just mean seeing our own life. Mirrors can have the temptation of looking at ourselves only. We can't remain in front of the mirror all day. Our gaze must extend upward and outward to fulfill our calling to love God and love people. It's real easy when we're facing life through Scriptures, as we talked about in the last session, to just be so focused on ourselves. But I have come to believe that God is working multiple things out in your life, and that He's not just focused on you, but all around you. And it's like a ripple in a pond. What you do impacts everyone around you. Imagine if tomorrow you were placed on the witness stand to prove you truly love God and others. With the courtroom cameras fixed upon you and all the world watching, what evidence could you submit that would withstand the scrutiny of an adversarial courtroom cross-examination? That's a scary question. That's a scary situation. Jesus was cross-examined by unbelieving skeptics, truly on the world stage. He was once asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" His response, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. Jesus loved his Father, and Jesus loves people, even his enemies. You know, at the intersection of life and prayer is loving God and loving people. If we neglect to intercede on behalf of others, then we are failing to truly love. The Bible uses a unique word for this kind of love. Many of you have heard this. It's the word agapao, the Greek word for love. It is a love that is noble and sacrificial, rooted in the will rather than mere emotions. And the Bible describes this kind of love in so many amazing ways. There's one particular passage about love, and it's often quoted at weddings. You'll know this as soon as I start reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Paul says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." Even unbelievers recognize the majesty, the eloquence, and the truths of this passage. Jesus Christ literally manifests love in this way, both to the Father and to us, dying on the cross for you and I, who were once his enemy. Jesus loves this way. His death on the cross is the greatest act of love of all time. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the unique God-man, the perfect Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, loves God the Father by, here's the key, submitting to the Father's will to rescue and redeem rebellious sinners like you and me from the curse of the law and the wrath to come. Jesus perfectly obeys God's plan and purpose to pay the full price and bear the full punishment for your sin as our substitute. Jesus loves others and you by being your substitute for sin, taking your place of punishment and canceling out your certificate of debt that is hostile to you. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus loves God and Jesus loves you. And this love is rooted in loving truth and is revealed by loving people sacrificially. This is the gospel. Do you believe it? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Has your faith in Christ and trusting in his righteousness resulted in you loving God and loving people? So what is this idea of loving God and loving people? I think it does begin first in loving truth. You know, today people are defining truth for themselves. Expressions such as, if it's true to you, then it's true, capture the sentiment that truth is relative and not absolute. It communicates the belief that truth resides in the individual rather than being outside the individual, transcendent of time and culture. This is a dangerous precedent and encourages the idea that you can remove truth by removing the individual. We need to pray that people realize truth is found in God and not men. For men can only discover and affirm what has already been established as true by God. You know, the longest psalm in the Bible is Psalm 119, and it is all about God's truth. The psalmist expresses repeatedly his love for God's law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, verse 97. In verse 13, he says this, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And in verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. These texts reveal that there are timeless, transcendent, unchanging truths whose origins reside with God and not man. Without absolute truths, eventually there will be chaos and conflict. For example, imagine four cars arriving at the same intersection at the same time and each driver interpreting the meaning and truth of the color lights differently from one another. That will result in confusion, crashes, and casualty. Fortunately, most people obey the rules of the road as prescribed in the law, and as a result, our roads are generally safe for travel. But if you look at any conflict at the international, national, local, or even family level, you discover that each side in the conflict is believing their interpretation of facts is true and correct. And as a result, there is confusion, crashes, and casualties. How can such conflicts be resolved when compromise and concession are not possible? Maybe you are in the midst of a conflict right now and you don't see a way out. How can seemingly irreconcilable differences be overcome when facts and truths are in dispute? The answer to these conflicts is simply learning to love sacrificially. You know, loving sacrificially is the first part of the answer. If you combine sacrificial love with loving truth, which can be difficult and even dangerous at times, you will discover something wonderful and delightful. I recommend reading the biography of any missionary who exchanged the comforts of home for a foreign country in order to love strangers with the gospel of Christ. Learn how these missionaries faced great opposition when they proclaimed Jesus Christ and his gospel. Some missionaries were persecuted and even killed by the very ones they loved with the truth of the gospel. It is these kinds of sacrifices that provide you and me with a sense of the great cost of loving truth and loving sacrificially. Unfortunately, this beautiful union of loving truth and loving people sacrificially can easily be broken. What would you think of someone who believes he or she is right and true, but is willing to harm others over his or her beliefs? For example, a terrorist expresses hate and carries out acts of violence, all the while claiming to love some God and faithfulness to his or her tradition of so-called truth. This is sacrificial hate and not sacrificial love. You know, the Apostle Paul, originally known as Saul, before he was converted, he was just like this, sacrificially hating like a terrorist. So, how are you loving God and loving people? Are you seen as truly an ambassador of Christ who represents Christ? And when they look at you, they go, you do represent Christianity well. We have to live as light and salt so they can see and taste the love of God. And may they see it as you love them in Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.